Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Father, what an honor to know that you're welcoming prayer from your people, that the veil has been rent, the way has opened through your blood, Lord Jesus, and that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, but the throne of grace, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And so, Lord, hear our cry this morning as we pray to you, and I know you will. This is the confidence that we have if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And so, Lord, align our hearts with yours, Lord. We're not trying to bend your will. We're trying to get our will in accordance with yours, knowing that if we're in accordance with you, it will be done, because you want to accomplish much more than we want to see something accomplished. But we want your will accomplished and not our near-term, self-centered pleas. We want to give those to you as well, but we want to be led by your Spirit, Lord. And so today, as we look once again at that great prayer of yours, Lord Jesus, as you would pray to the Father for us, the future believers, that we would see what your heart is for your bride, Lord, for the whole body of Christ, and for each one of us individually, Lord. So it's so good to see you praying for us, to see you praying for, we could say, each one of us, for me. And you ever live to make intercession, what do you pray for? We get a glimpse of that possibly in this prayer that you have recorded for us in the Scriptures, Lord. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's begin by singing, I Love to Tell the Story. Should be a missionary hymn. Should be each of our hymns, Lord. So I love to tell the story. Did everybody get one of these sheets? There should be some floating around here. And before we get started, just one other little thing. If any of you are not on the Missionary Weekly Prayer Request List and you want to be, there's some over there on that little table where those bottles of water are on. There's some of these, but it's p20@gmail.com. It's down here at the bottom. I think that may be on your, I don't know if it's on your sheet or not, send me an email, say, put me on the list, and those missionaries who are not sending in requests, you need prayer, I can guarantee you that, and it will enhance your ministry, and I can guarantee you that. Well, I don't, but I mean the Lord does. And so get your prayer requests in. These go out every Thursday for the week. So Thursday noon California time, it's cut off time for me, and I cut them off and I summarize them and send them out, and these goes out to lots of people. So the Lord is responsible for the prayer, but so that's no cost, but it's great value to get prayer. So let's sing, I Love to Tell the Story. Of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Let's sing along. You can either listen or you can sing, but we're to make a joyful noise. So if you got a voice like mine, just make a noise.
God's own holy word.
I love to tell the story.
Into that, huh? Well, today we're going to finish the last six verses of John 17, seven verses. And Jesus is praying in this section of the high priestly prayer for all believers. So if you're a believer, this is for you. It's not often we see prayers in the Bible specifically for us, directed to us, to the Father for us, but here we have the Son of God praying to the God the Father for you and for me. And so how does he pray for you? Well, verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples he's prayed for in verses 6 through 19. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe. Future tense, right? So that's us. If you're a believer, we're the ones who will believe or who have believed now, but in times past, will believe in me. How? Through the word of the disciples. So this goes on. Your word and the word of other disciples will continue to be used by the Lord to cause believers to come to Christ. Now, we can't save anybody. Only the Spirit can do that. But we can tell people about the Lord, and we can use the word of God, which is so powerful, right? So, those who will believe in me through their word, that's us. And now notice that. There's 11 that's in this short section here. Jesus's prayers are very specific. He's always praying for something specific. He's not just, like my prayers, wandering around and kind of hitting the target once in a while. But notice the stressing of unity here in this prayer. Why do you think he's praying for unity for us all the time? Because we're disunited, right? And there's discord among us. Proverbs 6:19, in that little section, says there are six things, yes, seven I hate. What's the last one on that list?
Discord among
us. One who sows discord among the brethren. Do you ever gossip? Do you ever pass on things you've heard about others that are not really building anybody up, but just kind of tearing them down? Maybe they're not even true. Or do you ever just disagree with your brothers and sisters, maybe over some little thing that you think is important to you, but it's really not really very important at all? Or are you building them up? So listen to this prayer here. I'm praying for the future believers, first that they all may be one, that they all may be one. The bride, the body of Christ, is to be one, unified. And then here's a comparable again, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So the unity that he's praying for here for us is that we would be one as the Father and as the Son are one. Now, since they're both God, is there any discord between God the Father and God the Son? None. That's the standard. That they may be one in me and I in you. And then the second that, that they also may be one in us, that we would not only be one together, but we would be one with him. They may be one with us. And the third, that this is important for all of us, particularly for the missionary aspects of it, that the unity of the body of believers, what? That the world, this is the wicked world may believe, that the wicked world may believe. Notice the unity that the body of Christ really needs to show the world to cause them to come to the Lord. What's the biggest single complaint most of us hear when we're, I mean, we get all get excuses from people, you know, when you start to tell them about the Lord, because they get convicted of their sin and they just want to, you know, they want to get you on a rabbit trail or something. But one thing that almost many of them say, well, I don't want any part of Christianity. I see the fighting in the church. I see the pastors falling. I see all the things going on, believers suing unbelievers. They may not use those terms, but that's such a sad witness. And yet we see it all over, don't we? We see it in our own circle of friends all too often. But the Lord is praying that we would be one so that the world may believe that you sent me. And what does that mean? Well, most of the world does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They may believe in some God, but they certainly don't connect the Son of God, Jesus, with God the Father. But this unity of the believers is to show the world that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. Isn't that what that says? That the world may believe that you sent me. And then an and the glory. There's a lot about glory in this prayer. The glory of the Lord. And yesterday when we talked about Jesus praying that the Father would glorify him so that he would glorify the Father, and the purpose of basically all prayer is to glorify the Father, really. And so here we have, and the glory which you gave me. How much glory did the Father give the Son? I don't think we can quantify it. It's too great. But the glory that the Father gave the Son, I have given them. Who's the them? It's us, the believers. Just think of that gift. His glory, he's been praying here, that was given to the Son, I have given them. Again, that. Why has he given us that glory? He's given us that glory that we may be one just as we, that they may be one just as we are one. So again, the glory of God he's given us for unity. He's given us to be one as the Father is with the Son. And that glory, again, gifts that we can't quantify. It's too great to grasp it. But I think if we get the context here of how important this unity is, it is just overwhelming, isn't it? And then verse 23, I in them and you in me. Absolutely. As the Father is in the Son and the Son in the Father, why? And there's the that again, that they may be made perfect in one. And not only that we would be unified in one, but we would be complete, or we would be mature, or we would be perfected in one. The perfected body of Christ, being led by him, being led by the Spirit, and coming to him, that we would be one with the standard as Jesus is in the Father and the Father in him, and then as they are in us. And then the world again, that the wicked world may know, that they may know. Remember we talked yesterday about knowing. Knowing is gnosko. Really, it means to know and to gain knowledge through experience. And of course, with our knowing God, it has to be the relationship aspect there as well, not just knowing a bunch of facts, but having that relationship. But that they may know that you have sent me. And again, notice the emphasis there on the importance of knowing that Jesus is God and Jesus is sent by God the Father. That they may know that you have sent me, and then notice this. Try to get your hands around this. It's too big. I can't get mine around it. But that the Father has loved them as you have loved me. How much love is that? How much love does the Father show to the Son? And now Jesus is saying that they may know that the love which you have given me, you've given to them. Can you imagine how much the Lord loves you? Can you possibly imagine how rich we all are? We may be living like beggars. We may be so far away in a sense that we don't even feel loved, and we feel totally useless, which without Him we are. But with Him, just notice how He's pouring out this love on us, that they may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And of course, that demonstration was primarily emphasized on the cross, was it not? And that's what's happening right here in this very prayer. Jesus will be on the cross within a matter of hours of this prayer, certainly probably no more than, a little more than, maybe less than 12 hours. I think that this prayer was maybe written late in the evening, and by 9 o'clock the next morning he was on the cross. So this is getting close to cross time here. And have loved them as you have loved me. And then verse 24, which is my favorite verse in the whole prayer. Father, I desire. This desire, by the way, is a very strong word, meaning I will it. I don't just kind of want it a little bit, but it's going to happen. I desire it. I will it. What is he willing? What is he desiring? That, again, another that, they also whom you gave me. Now, that's us. We've been given to Jesus by the Father. Before the foundation of the world, he's known that. That they also who you gave me may be with me, where? Where's Jesus now? Well, he's in your heart for sure, but he's really in heaven, isn't he? So he wants us with him. So he calls me home today, I want to be overjoyed. I don't want to say, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go yet, Lord. I don't want to go yet. If he wants me to be with him where he is, I want to be with him where he is, right? Amen. Now we pray thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, but he's not here yet. So to be with him where he is today, we need to be with him in heaven. But he calls us that. We don't make that determination, right? But he's saying that they may be with me. Well, I got ahead of myself there. I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. And then another that they may behold my glory. Can you imagine why Jesus wants you to be with him? I imagine maybe you can. I can't imagine why he wants to be with me. But he wants us with him. Why? For what reason? To behold, to experience, to sense, to see, to live. We may behold my glory. And what glory is that? It's the glory that the Father has given him. It's the whole ball of wax, isn't it? The glory that the Father has given him, he wants us to be with him forever to behold that. Now, if this prayer doesn't excite you to go tell others about the Lord, I don't know what will, because the gifts we've been given, we are just so over the top that is I can't understand it. It's beyond me. But that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, why and what? For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Awesome. And then verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these, that's us, the future believers, have known that you sent me. Are you sure in your heart that you know that Jesus was sent by the Father? As he keeps going over that in this prayer, he's stressing that. And then verse 26, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it. We're here today because his name has been declared to us, right? And he will declare it. He will continue to declare it, and he will use us to declare it through him. I have declared your name and will declare it. Again, the final 11th that in this little section, that the love with which you love me. And again, notice the scope of that. That the love which you love me, that the love which the Father has loved the Son, may be in them. Look at the love that he's praying would be in you. It's that love that the Father loves the Son. Which you love me may be in them, and then I in them. He's praying that the Father would cause or allow, or the result would be that Christ would be in us. Christ would be in us. The hope of glory, right? How awesome that is. Father, this prayer is beyond our ability, or certainly my ability, to certainly comment on it, really, but it is self-sufficient in itself, and we see your heart for us. We see your heart for the bride, the body of Christ. And Lord, we know that you are the one head of the body. And so, Lord, help us to pray this morning Pray for freedom from dissension. Pray that we would not be sowers of discord. We pray for unity here. We thank you for this beautiful conference, the time to come together. And Lord, we have just one full day, and we'll meet again in the morning, Lord, to pray, but then breakfast, and then we're on our way, and some are even leaving today to get back to where they need to be by the weekend and so forth. But Lord, unity, we pray for that, and we pray for the speakers today, Lord. And so guide us in this time of prayer to pray for the conference, the speakers, to pray for the body of Christ, to pray for the lost, to pray for nations, to pray for whatever you put on our hearts to pray for as led by your Spirit is what we want to lift up to you now. So lead us and guide us in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. So let's pray.